It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville. Rolling along on this Tuesday. And a live mic there. Glad nothing else came out. I am Trey Wallace, my fantastic producer who knows everything in the world. So happy to have him. I bless him every day he walks into the studio because I care about him so very much. Brandon Johns. Hey, Brandon.
I'm just pleased to grace you all with my presence once more.
That's fit once
more. And Ben, speaking of gracing us with their presence, good to have Ben Lee with us.
Right, Ben Lee's going to hang out. Chance Collins is out today.
I'll hang out for a little bit.
He's dying.
Get y'all settled in.
Right, exactly. So Ben Lee's hanging out with us for a little bit today. I was like, hey, Ben, you want to pop in for a minute? And he was like, yeah, why not? I'll carry your show for you. So I was like, okay, that's fine. We can deal with it. Breaking news off the top of the deck, literally. Manny Machado reportedly, maybe, I don't know yet, has a deal with the Padres. We'll see. $300 million for 10 years. That's a report out there, but then the chairman comes out and says, yeah, no deal done yet. So we're still waiting. It looks like ESPN's gone full tilt with this bad boy.
They've been running it for the last half hour. They're just saying, you know what? Go.
I pray that this does not happen. I hope he signs somewhere else now. That would absolutely make my day. Lots to talk about today. Tennessee basketball tonight versus Vanderbilt. That is a 7 o'clock tip-off. That is the Donate Life Night at Thompson Bowling Arena. If you sign up to Donate Life, you'll be able to go on the court after the game with Rick Barnes, Tom Zakovic, and many others to take a picture at midcourt with Rick Barnes, and you'll get sent a picture, which is neat. So sign up. Donate Life. It's going to be ugly weather this afternoon and tonight. They've canceled schools in the mid-state because they said there's going to be flooding. And I'm like, that's a little early for all that good nonsense. But that's okay. Basketball still be played tonight. It's not a late tip. 7 o'clock. Hopefully everybody can be out there. Tickets are still available as well. So that game will be tonight. We're going to have Dan Harrelson join us at 1:30 today. Talk a little of Tennessee baseball. They got off to a 3-0 start on the year with a couple shutouts. And we'll talk about the coaching switcheroos, T. Martin wide receivers, David Johnson running back. We'll talk a lot about that with Dan Harrelson. Then at 2:35, usually joins us once a week. Last week took a week off. Peter Burns from the SEC Network is going to join us today. We're going to talk some Vol hoops. We're going to talk SEC hoops. Who's on the hot seat right now? And we will continue this on. Ben Lee, how are you today? I didn't get to ask you.
I'm doing good. I just got the Periscope fired up, so we're good there now.
Did you? That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're live on all the platforms.
That is great, man. I'm really proud of you.
Doing good. Just got done with Talk Sports.
You don't get appreciated on that.
Yeah, I've been grinding since 5 a.m. nonstop, you know.
Coffee in the mornings?
I'm actually not a coffee guy.
Oh, okay.
I usually get soda for my caffeine.
Really?
That's interesting. Do you go with Red Bulls or energy drinks ever, or is it pure like a Coke?
I'll do an energy drink on a road trip because I'm really bad about if I'm just sitting there, I'll fall asleep and stuff like that. I have a funny story about one time me and my buddy almost died coming back from a camping trip.
Because you fell asleep?
We both fell asleep when I was driving, and it was... We'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I'd like to hear that story.
But yeah, when it's a long road trip, I'll usually have an Amp Energy or a Red Bull or something. But when it comes to just waking up in the morning, Coke or a Dr. Pepper is usually my thing. My friends and I call them Fat Cokes.
I feel you. No, I mean, I understand it. Do you go with Diet Cokes or regular Cokes? My mom was like a Diet Coke fiend.
Growing up, it was always Diet Coke. Because that's what my mom and my dad always got, and I guess they were just afraid of making us fat. But
you got good parents,
I guess. I'm still pretty thick, so I don't know how much it helped. But as I got into middle and high school, I just was like, you know what, screw it, I'm going with regular Coke. I want the sugar.
Okay.
Honestly, Dr. Pepper is my favorite drink, and that's what I'll go with off wham.
Really? Yeah. Okay. So that's how you get your caffeine. You know what was bad? When I was in high school, I used to take those little stackers. Those things trip me out, and they still sell those.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
You don't know what the stackers are.
You have to realize.
We are like this. Me and Ben are the same age.
Those, yeah, you have to realize there is quite a generation gap between the two of us.
There's only like 10 years.
Is it like an energy drink?
No, it's a pill you take.
Oh, God.
It's called stackers.
That's not good.
No wonder I don't know about this. Like, all those gas station pills for energy.
We were taught early and often by the education system and even our parents, like, hey, you probably shouldn't take these caffeine pills that are highly addictive.
And dangerous. Who knows what they actually are either?
Look,
you can just pick it up at the gas station. You'll be up all night, no problem. Don't worry about it.
Have you ever seen someone buying some of those pills at the gas station and thought, man, this guy looks like he is on top of his stuff?
Absolutely. Look, no, it was something that when I was going to school, you know, I go to high school, so my daily routine was stop at the Chevron station
and
use the parents' gas card. Go in there, get some stackers and a newspaper. I was one of those kids.
Use the parents' gas card. Can't hide money.
No. This was back in the day until they took it away after freshman year because they saw that I'd go to the gas station every morning, not get gas. I'd just be getting stackers.
Were you driving freshman year?
Yeah, end of freshman year.
I was driving the end of my freshman year.
I've had a beard since I was 14, so...
I didn't start driving until halfway through my sophomore year.
That's because you're a loser.
That's when I turned 16.
Yeah, I got my permit the very end of my eighth grade year because like my birthday is in April, so it's like I was in this weird range of like being like the oldest kid in my class.
Yeah,
but like I turned like at the very end of the year. I don't know. It was weird, but like I got my permit in eighth grade and my license the very end of my freshman year, so I was. The dog.
I was so scared to drive. I didn't drive the first 5 months.
Are you serious?
16.
I couldn't wait.
Yeah.
Oh, I was driving around the day I turned.
Well, my dad gave me a pickup truck. Like, I was like, oh man, okay, this is pretty big to start off with.
I could not wait to drive. 2 weeks after I got my license, I actually got pulled over for drag racing, and my car was taken away by my mom for 3 months. We got a lot of stories to unpack today.
I mean, that's fantastic stuff. I mean, it ties right in. Like,
I've got car stories coming out, man.
When I was playing, I would play high school soccer, and we'd always have like practice in the mornings and stuff like that as well before we got going. And you know, it was usually pop a ride with somebody else, and I didn't feel like driving yet. So, you know, I walked in, got my first license, had a full beard rocking. I mean, I was the kid that went to the gas stations and, like, bought the beer when I was, like, 16. Like, that was me. Like, Trey, you've got a beer. They won't card you. And there's always that one spot. I know we're getting off sports for a minute, but I enjoy this. Southern.
You were the guy they sent in to get beer underage?
Southern, yes, yeah.
See, I was the guy they sent in because I've had this thing, like,
right.
not the mustache or like on my cheeks, really.
Right.
But I've had this neck beard thing going on since like sixth, seventh grade.
Old, like Amish beard.
Yeah, legitimately. Just like my brother used to make fun of me because it was literally all right here.
Oh, my God.
Underneath my chin all the time. And so whenever we got into high school, I was the guy that went and got dip and cigs. And my friends actually started calling me Backer. And they were like, yeah, just go talk to Backer. Backer will hook you up for the backy.
That's fantastic. No, I did. I would go in there and I would I'd buy the beer. I'd be scared to death. And I wouldn't. But everybody has that spot. Like, you know, you have that spot where you know the guy behind the register and you're like, all right, we're good. We're good here.
Yeah.
Just like Brandon is to a lot of our youth out there today. I don't think Brandon IDs. You know, I would look at Brandon and think, I don't think he IDs people.
You could actually get me in trouble for that. So, no, I do ID people.
I don't think your owner's listening.
I had to take so many hours of classes.
Yeah. I got in trouble for not carding.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're obviously old enough, then I don't bother. So, like, if you can be my parent, I don't card you.
If I'm not serving now, but, like, might want to in the near future, like, do you think I could probably tell this story about not carding some people that and like pretty much knew it? You know what I mean?
Oh, did you?
Like, I was working at the establishment that you work at, Brandon.
Yeah.
I think the one over on Cedar Bluff.
Right.
I don't know if you work there.
Oh, wow.
But I was working there, and two college-aged-looking kids came in.
Right.
And they hand me their IDs, and it's, you know, someone, it's an Arkansas ID and an Illinois ID.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm looking at them, and I'm like, oh, so you guys met at UT, right? And they're like, oh, no, we knew each other in high school. And I'm like, That's weird because you guys lived so far away from each other. Pin and pals. They're like, oh, like, yeah, like I moved there. It got like super weird for a second. And I was like, yeah, I'll be right back with your drinks. Like, see, I didn't want to be a jerk.
The thing is, if you show me something that can be passable, then, I mean, unless you're a jerk, I'll probably be cool with you. But the most commonly counterfeited ones we see all the time, especially at the liquor store, Ohio and Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah. Especially it's interesting to me.
My freshman and sophomore years at, well, I guess not technically at Tennessee because I wasn't in school, but like
right.
living downtown with
like
my
sophomore
friend.
Like age
my friends were sophomores, so and I was just living in the house.
Right.
But
you got yourself as a sophomore. It's
at
fine.
That point, it was all Mississippi and Arkansas.
They change. Like, and see, that, yeah. like when I was down in Chattanooga, Kentucky IDs became so bad, there were some bars that refused to take them.
Just like
even
in general.
Adult,
yeah.
Even an adult.
It happens, like, man. I'm telling you, the world gets a little crazy nowadays when it comes to this type of things. And,
I hate to see it.
And you just hate
you
to,
hate
see,
to
it.
See it.
Then you have the kids like me that actually sat and waited till their 21st to go out and buy a beer.
Really?
And like me.
I never had a fake.
Kind of. You never had a fake. Okay, you know, I was too scared to have a fake.
I was always just
I'm going to get caught.
Same. I didn't want to spend $100.
The cool part about it was my little brothers. Here's a funny story as we go out. And give me 2 minutes and we'll hit the break here. And I'll tell this because I know my brothers don't listen to my show because they just don't care. So when they were in college, they're like 15 months apart. And they look alike. You know what I mean? They look alike. So my little brother, he always went to this place called Sky Bar in Auburn. Cool place. If you're ever down at Auburn, if you're going to the Auburn-Tennessee game in a couple weeks,
place.
Go check out Sky Bar. Fun place.
Yeah,
really cool.
I've got friends that go to Auburn, so it's awesome.
Really cool. So they went in there, and my little brother, my older brother, who gave his ID to my younger brother to use, because my other older brother
didn't
really go out.
Did he do the old pass back?
Right. No. So he went in. My older brother never goes. He never went out. Like, he had a girlfriend. He was in a fraternity. He never really went out to the bars. Well, this one night, he decided to go to the bar. So he goes to the bar, and he's hanging out in the back and all this stuff. So my little brother rolls up. My other little brother rolls up to the bar with his ID. So he walks up to the front, and he's getting in. And he goes, Wallace, you know, Wallace, I'm here. And he looks at the ID, and he goes, did you already come in? And he looks back to the back of the Sky Bar. My other little brother's just sitting there with a little smirk, a little smart-ass face, waving at him. So he's sitting there. He was like, I came with a group of friends. I went back out. You know, I had to go back in. Can you please let me in? No, we can't let you in. You've already come in once. You have to pay the cover again.
Oh, there's a cover.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my little brother was like, wait a minute. What are we talking? And then he finally realizes my other one in the back, Taylor, and he's just sitting there waving, giving that damn smirk. And my little brother has to pay again to get in, uses the same ID, which was expired. And the funny part about it is, you know how when you're young, you have your parents' card, like if you need it, like emergency card? Like if something happens.
No.
Okay, well, if something
God
happened.
God money.
No, it's not like that. If
my life was, man, you're going to earn your own money.
No. This was for emergencies. If something happened, this was for an emergency.
Like, obviously, if I needed something, I could be like, hey, Mom, I need help. But basically, since I've been 16, it's been...
My little brother was hitting up Sky Bar about every other night. And my father, it's actually named something else. It's not Sky Bar. It's like Sky Bar Cafe. So my father, when he looked at the credit card bill, he's like, wait a minute. He goes there every day for lunch. Like, what is he doing? So he finally goes up to Auburn and realizes it's a bar.
He's
like, wait a minute. You've been going to the bar for
at
3
noon?
Months straight? What's going on here? I thought this was like a restaurant. So it turns out, you know, he took his little emergency card and life went on. And the crazy things that we do when we are younger, and it's so much fun, and we look back on it now and we wish we could do it again. Hopefully all the college students out there now are living it up, because we got away with a lot more back in the day than they're getting away with now. So kind of beats the point. Next, coming up, we're going to talk about this AAF thing that just came out this morning. $250 million was injected into the AAF. We're going to talk Vol hoops. Ben Lee's going to stick around. We even talk some football and baseball. We'll do it on the other side. It's optional on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Rolling along, 1:30, Dan Harrelson's going to join us. Going to break some stuff down. Tennessee baseball, Tennessee football, Tennessee basketball. We're kind of you know what? I was inspired by my man Ryan McGee from ESPN. They have a fantastic show, you know, and it's full Southern type thing where they just go on and the crazy things that they've done and crazy things that they see. And, you know, so I'm interested. So we're, you know, I was thinking NASCAR for a minute. So tomorrow what we're going to do is we're going to have Bubba Wallace join us tomorrow. He is going to grace his presence for the first time ever on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Yeah, Cousin Wallace.
I don't know what time yet. He's at the shop today, but he'll be available tomorrow. So he's going to call in. I would probably imagine around 1:30 tomorrow. We're just going to talk some NASCAR, and we're going to talk. You know, we're going to talk a lot more than that.
This soon after the 500.
Yeah, but it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault. I want to talk about his experience too. Back in the day, where he got to dress up as a Tennessee football player and go out there and get railed by Jalen Hurd, which was pretty funny.
Wait, what?
So back in the
Richard Scratch,
two years ago, my cousin, he was doing some kind of appearance. He was promoting Bristol, and I'm showing Ben a picture right now. So he was promoting Bristol, and so he got to come up here and get in full pads and go through drills with Robert Gillespie, and Jalen Hurd kind of jacked him in the shoulder one time and got a full experience of it. And it was neat.
Yeah.
Wanting them to do something with basketball.
We were talking We were talking on Talk Sports earlier today about
what's
like,
that?
It's the show from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. right
forgot.
Before y'all.
Yeah, that's a good host.
I'm the producer.
Good host,
like
on
Brandon
show.
Over there.
Right.
But we were talking on that about if you've had any bad experiences, like at parties or playing like pickup games with players at the players at school.
Yeah.
And actually, Jalen Hurd shoved me into a wall.
Did he
at
really?
A party once?
At a party?
Yeah, I was just...
What did you do?
Nothing. I was... I don't like really reiterating this story, but basically I was just standing in this hallway.
Yeah.
I was standing in this hallway, drinking, hanging out, talking to a friend.
Coca-Cola.
Hanging out, and he came down this staircase, and I guess I was in his way, and I just got the full extension into the wall. And at first, I didn't know who it was. Like, someone just pushed me into this wall, so I turned around, and I was like, "What's up, buddy?" Obviously not those words, but I was like, "You got something going on, man?" I got up and I look, I turn and I'm, eye to chest with a person. So I look up, see it's Jalen. I turn around, my bro that I was talking to, he's gone. So
he did quickly.
Yeah,
after that.
He saw and I guess as soon as he heard me flare up, he was like, "I'm out." And so I kind of looked to see if I had anybody there. No. So I apologized. I was like, "I'm sorry I was in your way. My bad, man." And I just left. I was like, "You know what? Gone."
It's kind of like Pulp Fiction, just looking around for everybody. Nobody's there. John Travolta just turned out bad for you. Brandon, Brandon's had stories too. I mean, he tried to walk on at Tennessee.
I know.
And got bamboozled.
I got out while the getting was good.
Yeah,
I saw the
true.
Writing on the wall
and
realized I don't want to have to have my meals through a tube when I'm 40. So
right, and you saw Daniel McCullers, and you were like, "No."
Yeah, he opened the door for me. I was like, "Oh, I don't belong here."
Thanks,
nope.
Shaq. I appreciate it. It was pretty
funny.
Very
nice.
They gave
very
you gear,
nice
though, guy. Right? You got to keep some of the gear?
Workout shirt and shorts.
You still wear that around?
No.
Okay. I'm just wondering. I didn't know. Is it because of its Adidas?
No, because there's no reason for me to wear that. It's like wearing a high school class ring at this point.
Yeah, I don't rock. Okay. Did y'all rock high school class rings?
I never bought a high school class ring.
Neither did I. I'm just saying that's a point. It's like there's no point in wearing it.
I did.
Well, you were really like 80s?
No, piss school. Off. I graduated 86, in 05.
87.
Graduated in 05, man.
I'd say like the early 90s.
I did. I did get one of those like Letterman jacket things, but then I found out they weren't comfortable and they didn't really keep you from not being cold. It's just something you wear.
Was there really no functionality to the Letterman jacket?
I got a Letterman jacket. It keeps you warm. I don't wear it because it's more like a thing you hang up in the closet and just there. But you
break it out every now and then and no, go to sleep.
Not anymore.
Remember the old days at
Maryville? Once again, not anymore.
5 years ago.
Yeah. Do you not just throw it on?
Right. Yeah.
You know, the week of
go around, get a free meal,
go a game or something.
Yeah. Get a free meal.
I do not.
I call BS on that. I call BS on that.
What?
I think I'm
25 and wear my Letterman jacket.
Yes, I do think Brandon, you wear your Letterman jacket.
Mm. I think every so often, you know, it's fine. You just break it out. Maybe right. I'm, you know, the week of the Alcoa
what,
game.
What when piece gets, of evidence when you're, when do you all have
when
that
your emotions
makes you
are flaring
this
up?
Right.
It's the tornadoes.
Yeah.
It's the
what,
nades,
what
man. You
makes
can't,
you
know what?
Think
I, this is a good question. Do you still wear your high school ring or any kind of sports related memorabilia from high school?
No.
865-546-8200. I would love to hear responses on this.
I stand in the same place I stand on adult males wearing jerseys of other adult males. You don't do it.
No.
I'm not there on the jersey thing.
It's one thing. I'm saying if it was
hockey
like your childhood
different.
Hero. No,
sweater.
I mean, like, it's all about your age. Like, if you wore a Peyton Manning jersey, that's way different than you wearing.
But what if I wear just like a regular, like a general Tennessee jersey? Just
like
happens
a number
to
like
have
68.
Just
or
happens to have number 8 on it.
Then I'm gonna assume it's a Tyler Bray jersey
or Crompton,
or that. And either way, you're still in that range.
Or even like,
but if you wore like,
I was trying to think of a decent number that's on the team now, like number 10 or something. I don't know.
Number 1, Alante Taylor. He switched his jersey number.
Marquez Callaway.
I mean, I can't do it. Can't do
really?
It. It's not for
okay.
me.
Okay. Now, look, I'm not a jersey wearer. I don't care. I'm not going to throw my Alabama or Auburn jersey on anytime. I just thought I'd get that in there as a little slack to you guys. No, I don't wear Alabama or Auburn jerseys. Okay. Growing up in that state was hard enough.
I'm not the one that said it.
Excuse me. Growing up in that state was hard. It's not War Eagle Wallace.
You're the one that just
no,
said,
dang
I don't
it,
wear my
I'm not
Alabama.
War Eagle Wallace. This is such crap.
You just said I don't
it's
wear my
Alabama. It's not War Eagle Wallace. You know what? I've gone through my whole career not knowing about either War Eagle Wallace or anything along those lines. It's been fun. You know, when you have two little brothers.
You didn't work with anybody that was as creative as us at Fox Sports Knoxville.
That's true. Well, I agree with that.
We're smart.
I work from some schlops in Nashville, when it came to radio. There's just some headphones right there. It's like a one piece. No, it's not a one piece. That sucks for you.
There's no cord.
No, there's not a cord. I'm sure we can find some headphones for Ben. Sometime or another. Maybe check outside. There's probably some outside for you that you can grab before we have Dan Harrelson on.
Let's get to the
Or you can just share mine. It works out. I'm going to bring Dan Harrelson on, and we're going to ask this question, too. Do you still wear high school memorabilia? It's an honest sports question, because I have a feeling some folks still rock the Letterman jacket or the high school ring.
I'm assuming the answer is no.
Can you wear a state championship? We're about to go to Dan. Can you wear a state championship ring around if you went in high school? Can you, like, wear if you live in the community, can you wear? Well, wait a minute. Why don't I just ask Nimrod? No. Do you wear your state high school championship ring around?
Each one of the rings I got. I can't get no respect.
No, I didn't mean it like that. That's like Nard Dog.
I meant it in the nice way.
Nard Dog?
Yeah, like Nard Dog.
I was just trying to figure out if you're like referencing like the Green Day album or if like.
Do you wear a high school championship ring? Or do you
I have
them?
Three of them. Each one of them I tried on the day I got it, put it back in the box, and that's where it's been.
Really?
Yeah.
You should bring it in one day. Let's bring somebody on right now, Mr. Dan Harrelson from VolsWire.com. Dan Harrelson joined us. What up, Danny?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Man, you know what? I'm good, buddy. Quick question right off the top. A, did you ever win any kind of athletic championship in high school that you would still wear around any kind of memorabilia?
Are we counting church basketball?
Oh, wow. Church basketball. Okay. Church basketball does count,
now,
actually.
I didn't play high school sports. I just did the church thing. And when I went to community college right after I graduated, won a conference championship. I was the manager at the Wallace State women's basketball.
My man.
It was funny because like the first semester ever of college, I signed up for beginning to basketball, you know, just taking one of those little cheap classes to get an easy A. And
right.
The women's basketball coach said, well, you're the only one that signed up. Do you want a free scholarship to be the manager? I was like, sure. So I did that for 2 years at Wallace State in Hansville, Alabama. And we won the conference championship that first year. So I do have a ring for that.
You got a college basketball scholarship?
Well, just regular.
No, just leave that out. Just leave that out. Just say you got a college basketball scholarship.
College basketball scholarship and conference championship.
And conference championship.
Yes, I do have the ring, but I don't wear it, though.
Okay. All right. So you went along with Brandon's, and that's pretty fantastic.
When I was in college in Alabama,
right,
I was a scholarship athlete for a conference championship team.
Right. Then let people decipher that, Dan. Oh, man. Dan, let's start off with the coaching things. There's a lot of national championships and division championships and whatever you want to call it that are now involved with this staff that they have won over their careers. And we didn't get a chance to have you on and discuss this last week when they announced it, when Jeremy Pruitt did last Wednesday or Thursday. I forgot what day it was. But just overall perception, you've got T. Martin, and these are kind of things we already knew, but he made it official. You got David Johnson moving to running backs. Ansley's going to be calling plays. Just your first overall take before we dive into this of the position group changes.
I like it, and I like how he's got it 6-4, 6 on the offensive side, 4 on defense, because we know Jeremy, even though he said he's going to give up defensive play calling ability to Ansley, he's still going to be out there, like you said, helping out with the secondary, and I think that's huge. So you pretty much have 11 assistants there with him being pretty much the fifth guy on that side of the ball. I think when you bring in a guy like Ainsley, who's worked with Jeremy a lot in the past, that definitely helps out. And with Kevin Scherer, I think freeing him up to really focus on special teams also, I think that's going to help out. He actually came to Hoover a year after Jeremy got there as an assistant at Hoover High School. And when Jeremy took over the DC spot for Todd Watson, Kevin Scherer came in to oversee special teams. So talking with Rush Probst in the past, all three of those guys value special teams. So I think that's a real good addition to have Scherer oversee that. And then on the offensive side, I think it's huge to have Jim Chaney do what he does, calling plays, and also to be a walk-around top guy. And I like how David Johnson's at running back, is when he did coach that position at Tulane, his time there with the Green Wave, all the running backs did really well, high up on the charts for the school for Tulane to have their numbers there. So I really like T. Martin at wide receiver, too, and assistant head coach and passing game coordinator title. I really like the offseason moves that Pruitt did.
Dan, do you think that when Jeremy Pruitt says, hey, look, I'm giving up play calling, and it's going to be on Derek, we know he's going to be a roving coach. You know, he's going to get around the field. You know, I'm sure he'll be, you know, kind of like Saban in a sense where loves working with the secondary as well, and I imagine we see a lot of that. But in your opinion, you know, he said Chaney and Ansley are going to be the ones that run these meetings. Do you see him giving up complete control over a defense that he's ran for the past 7-8 years? I mean, is that something like Jeremy Pruitt for him to do?
Well, I mean, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Right. I don't think we're going to get a clear indication of that this spring. And we may not really get to see a clear indication this fall during the season until maybe after the Florida game or within the Florida game, just because the first three games are manageable games. Maybe the BYU is going to be a tough test just because they have some returning guys on offense. But I just don't know if we're truly going to know until the going gets tough. We saw that with Tyson on the offensive side last year. He pulled him down to the sideline and kind of overshadowed him a little bit there, but I think he's comfortable with Ainsley. So right now I'm going to say I don't think he's going to, I guess the right word may or not be interfere with him, but I think right now he's definitely comfortable. We'll just have to wait and see how it plays out.
Moving around on the field when it comes to positions, and if there was one coach on this staff right now that surprised you that is actually still with this staff? Who would that be?
Well, maybe Chris Rump, just because when you see maybe a Florida job opening or possibly to be opening, or a Kentucky, or maybe his home state of South Carolina, you kind of figured, well, maybe there's a shot that he can leave to go over there, and he stayed put. I like Rump. I think it's huge to have him back, but maybe him, just for a situation where he could have possibly gone elsewhere.
Is Tennessee going to have, you know, they're going to start spring practice March 7th. I mean, bro, we're what, 2.5 weeks away from this thing getting underway. In your opinion, what's the position group that has the most talent right now? Is it wide receiver? Is it, you know, with offensive line, with Darnell and Wanye coming in? I mean, or is it linebackers? What is your overall opinion right now of something that they think they can hang their hat on this upcoming spring and fall?
I think for the spring, it's probably wide receivers.
Yeah,
you're right about Wanye getting an extra start this spring, and Darnell coming in, and having Chris Acaprone coming through spring practices. It could be the offensive line come fall camp. We'll just have to wait and see about that. But I think definitely right now it's wide receivers. I mean, you got Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway. Those two guys, they were unbelievable last year. And you get Juwan to come back. I just really think with Jim Chaney and what he can do to utilize the best players on the team, and I think those two guys are pretty much the best guys on the team. I think it's going to be a fun spring to watch the receivers really go through the motions.
Last couple of questions, buddy. J.J. Peterson, he came in last year, and all it was J.J. Peterson watch, J.J. Peterson watch, and it got old, and it got old quick, and he comes in, and I'm not – ever going to hate on a young man, but he came in a little bit out of football shape, and having to get back in that spot now, played special teams sparingly at towards the end of the season. Can he be that big contributing factor that Tennessee needs when it comes to the linebacker spot, especially if you have, you know, you're going to have Henry Toto, ho ho. And then if you get somebody like Jeremy Banks on that side, they maybe can figure out the defense. I'm interested in your thoughts on the linebacker position.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's going to be up to him to really dive into this playbook, especially with the new defensive coordinator, which you would expect a lot of the terminology. And like Jeremy said, he can finish his sentence. So a lot of it's probably going to be the same. But it's all up to him to start going and competing to fill in for guys like Batuli and some of those guys at the linebacker spot. And like you mentioned, Henry Toa coming in fall camp or really this summer. I wouldn't say pressure's starting to become on J.J., but he is at the point after having a season to redshirt a year into this program where he needs to really start elevating the way he goes about practice and on to this season for fall camp and into the actual game time.
Let's switch over real quick before we let you go, man. Baseball starts the season 3-0 with 3 shutouts. I mean, look, I've read about it. I've watched a lot of trying a film of last season trying to get used to some of these players, and man, they come out and throw some shutouts. And you know, the first game was, I think they had one hit, and they ended up winning that game, something along those lines. What's your overall opinion as we get this season underway, the Tennessee baseballs?
Yeah, 3 games, 3 shutouts, no runs given up, 32 strikeouts from the pitching staff, and then I think it's 9 hits total that they gave up through those first 3 games. Obviously, App State's not the caliber of teams that they're going to be playing going forward with Fresno State and others in non-conference, and really starting it up with the SEC play in mid-March. But I think that's something that's been missing, though, with this baseball program ever since Delmonico left, was being able to go out there and take care of these top teams in the fashion that they did this weekend. And when I looked at the schedule, my expectations for this Tennessee team, maybe 13 wins in the non-conference slate before they start SEC play, and maybe 30, 31 wins, 32 wins, around that number for the entire regular season and to make Hoover. So I think they're definitely on par with that. They should get a win today against Northern Kentucky and should win the series against Indiana. But when they do start a few of those tournaments, then hosting Fresno State, you really want to see them at least start or keep winning these series at least two out of three each time.
Is that game in Knoxville today?
Yes, it got moved up. It's supposed to be a 4:30 first pitch, and then I think it's at 3:05 today just because the rain that's coming in.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Hey, on your way out, man, Tennessee basketball drops a, not even going to call it a heartbreaker, caught a spanking Saturday night, but they can get back on track tonight with Vanderbilt, then a big matchup Saturday versus the Tigers of LSU. Just your takeaway from the game Saturday night and where this Vols team's at now.
Well, they better stay focused for this game tonight, which I think they will. I think they'll play a lot better than the first time that they played Vanderbilt that went to overtime a few weeks back in Nashville. And big game Saturday, early tip time down at LSU. It's going to be tough. I was expecting or just kind of waiting on a team with the caliber of talent that Kentucky and LSU has to really play some pressure man-to-man defense. Really didn't see that from prior opponents. And one reason why I thought if you can't play pressure man-to-man, might as well switch it up to a 3-2 zone and build that wall against his backcourt. And, you know, it's all up on Bone in the backcourt going forward, especially against LSU, to see if they can actually get this offense in motion. So we'll see how it plays out down in Baton Rouge.
Always bringing it, Dan. Tell everybody where they can follow you and your fantastic work.
At ballswire.com, and then on the Ballswire Twitter account, we've got it set up now where all the stories are going out on that feed. I usually just keep it football, a little bit of basketball on my account, but on Ballswire, we're putting out all the content there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, buddy. Look forward to seeing you in the next couple days, and we'll do this again next week.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, brother. Dan Harrelson with Ballswire.com. I try to get him a little more energetic on his way out every now and then, and Brandon gets a kick out of it. But he brings it. He knows his stuff. And baseball team going for 4-0 today against, I think he said, Northern Kentucky. I didn't know there was a college like that. But we'll come back. We'll talk more about different things. I want to ask these two if they've ever heard of a Lambert's Cafe. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Hope you've gone out, got a canoe, a kayak, a boat, or just a raft. Maybe even a floaty. You're going to need it over the next 7 days. It's nonstop rain in Knoxville in the state of Tennessee. So good luck to you. It's going to be a wet one. Is what it is. The AAF got, I think the story's coming out this morning about them not making payroll. I think they were a little bit of jump the gun thanks to Darren Rovell, which I have never admired. I always look down upon. I think he's one big phony, and turns out he's a jerk as well. And those are my thoughts on Darren Rovell. But he ran with the
that
whole.
Sounds personal, Trey.
It's not personal at all. He comes off like
what
that.
Happened?
I've met him. I've met him twice, and he is an ass.
What? I mean, was it like you showed up to the SEC championship, and like he was wearing a Georgia shirt, and you were wearing your Auburn shirt,
and you guys just didn't get along?
Like, or was it something like that?
No,
or?
No. He just I've met him twice. And
did you guys go to the same high school, and he stole your girl?
No, he's just a jerk.
Did he shove you into a wall at a party?
No, he did not shove me against the wall.
Did he tell you that your class ring was lame?
No, he told me to pass that along to Brandon, though.
I don't have one.
No, you have a champion, whatever.
I'm not State championship ring, I do have that.
Okay. Yeah, no, he just, whatever. He came off as a jerk to me a couple times, so I never really cared for him. But he's the one that ran the whole payers weren't played this past week in the AAF when they just got a $250 million investment from the Carolina Hurricanes owner.
Don't you wish you had $250 million? Be like, ah, that
oh, you need $250
million? I'll throw in there.
Okay, you're good. I want part ownership now, though. Okay, you part own the AAF. Congratulations.
They had some good games. My Orlando Apollos won with a walk-off pick six.
Walk-off pick six?
Well, not a walk. It was like with less than a minute in the game, pick six.
That's at least like...
That's like as close to a walk-off pick six as you'll probably ever get.
That's at least exciting football.
I can agree with that. There were some exciting games on tap. I think all eyes were on, in this area, Vol Hoops Saturday night versus Kentucky compared to what went along in the AAF. Sunday night was different. They had a game Sunday night that was kind of fun to watch. San Diego Fleet, something along those lines. So they're trying to grow. They're trying to get better. They're trying to get bigger. They got a big investment now. They've got a new co-owner, and we're 3 weeks in.
You know what blew my mind, though? What would you think would be higher rated? The MLB Home Run Derby or the NBA Dunk Contest and Three-Point Contest? Of those three, what's the highest rated?
NBA Dunk Contest.
You'd be wrong. Home Run Derby was higher than both of those.
Really?
The MLB All-Star Weekend, where like all that happens, usually is like their highest rated of like
all regular season stuff. Yeah. But I'd be surprised the Home Run Derby outrated the slam dunk contest or the three-point contest.
Yeah, but until they get some, I don't know, until they get some, like next year, if they have like LeBron, Zion, it's, well, LeBron first of will all, never LeBron do will it. Never do it because Zion will, you know, up him a little bit. And then
that's like the whole generation that stopped doing it because they're like, we don't want to get hurt, losers.
Well, I don't think they want to get up. They're embarrassed. What if you lose the slam dunk contest?
LeBron and those guys are what? What
33 or no? He's 34.
LeBron, yeah, he's 34.
They're the ones that watered down the product of the dunk contest.
That's true.
That's what I was saying. The dunk contest is like any good TV show that's gone about three or four seasons too long. It's not as good anymore. Like you watch the old highlights when they had like the stars competing in the dunk contest.
Plus, you have to do so much. Like everybody can dunk. Like
Blake Griffin over a car.
Everybody can do windmills. Yeah. Everybody can do 360s now. You have to do crazy stuff,
and it's not entertaining. It's like The Walking Dead, for example. It's just gotten crazy. It's not entertaining anymore. It's just gone off the deep end.
First slam dunk competition. Walking Dead reference.
Well, that's the point I'm making. Is like you have any TV show. At a certain point, you have to go off the rails crazy to keep pumping out seasons, and that's what the slam dunk contest is.
Also, your TV show picture is kind of weird. I mean, you get into Temptation Island.
I mean, like, John kind of talked about it.
Temptation Island's awesome. How dare you, by the way.
John talked about it a couple days ago. I was like, we absolutely glorify just a regular extended hand dunk.
Good point.
From Michael Jordan.
Everybody can do now.
In the 90s. It's
all these players.
I would still rather
literally
see
Eves Pons, who doesn't know how to play team basketball.
No, not at all.
Can do that without even thinking.
I would still rather see a guy jump from the free throw line, though, than jump over the hood of a Kia. I think that's still more difficult.
I can agree with you on that. I can agree with you on that.
I bet there's thousands of guys that could have done that dunk over the hood of a Kia.
Brandon, I wanted to ask you a question before we get out. Do you watch The Bachelor over Temptation Island or Temptation Island over The Bachelor?
Oh, The Bachelor, for sure. Bachelor and The Bachelorette are like 1A, 1B, and then Temptation Island's a solid 2 as far as reality dating television goes.
Ben, do you watch any of these shows?
No, I wasn't listening.
Do you watch The Bachelor or Temptation Island?
I watched one season of The Bachelor once. Again, it was my freshman year in college.
Yeah.
Or was it your roommate's freshman year of college?
I was still in college at the time. I dropped out after freshman year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did the one year at Pellissippi and said, you know what, like this is
good
really,
old college
this
try.
Really is not
you
for
gave
me.
The college try. It's
I was
all
like,
good.
I was like, you know what, I just don't function in a classroom. I'm just going to go sit in a studio.
Right, exactly. It worked out better for you.
No, I was just reading this tweet from Clay Travis.
And what did Clay Travis have to say?
Interesting ratings data point. MLB Home Run Derby, 4.1 rating last year. NBA Saturday Night Dunk and 3-point rating last night, 3.5. So Home Run Derby beats Dunk and 3-point contest in viewership.
A 3.5?
See? I mean, yeah. I mean,
I mean, I believe James is saying a 3.5 is not a good rating for the dunk competition. A 4.1 for the Major League the Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
Which is about what I'd think the Home Run
Derby. Yeah, I agree with you on that part.
But yeah, I was kind of shocked how poor the ratings were, especially for the 3-point contest. I actually was kind of looking forward to that.
I'm sitting here looking at some tweets from a place that I did not know had a Twitter account, which is Lambert's Cafe. If you've never been to Lambert's Cafe in Gulf Shore, well, it's actually the Foley. It's not on there now. Actually, in the Foley area, they throw rolls at you. They chunk rolls at your head.
I feel like that's a... There's more than one place that does that.
No, there's it's Lambert's.
Yeah, have you ever been to Wasabi? They throw rice at you.
Yeah, they flip what? They flip shrimp up off the spatula into your mouth.
Into your mouth, and you catch it and eat it.
Do you, they
you've
really?
Never been to, no. You've never been to Wasabi or a Benihana?
I've been like to a bocce place where they do like the choo-choo train with the onions.
Yeah, that's the same. It's the same concept. It's just like, did you leave early? Like, did you miss this part of the show? Or the meal?
Flick rice.
Did you get,
like,
did you get
they,
an entree?
They ball up the rice, and they, you know, flip it around on the spatulas, and they say, "Hoi!" Yep. And you got to catch it.
I've seen the egg part.
You go.
Mm-hmm. Is that how they do it? Yeah. I've seen the egg part. I've and never seen like, throwing rice at me.
There was a couple times I've almost flipped out of a chair.
Trying to catch like a piece of steak?
Throw yourself back.
Yeah.
Trying to catch the rice?
Yeah, I've hit my head on the wall.
Good Lord, guys. What has happened to you?
It's about...
It takes way more skill to catch the wasabi rice than it does a roll.
That's true.
Well, you're all about catching things. We'll catch you on the other side. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville.